Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos in Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. Get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. March 6th, we will be at Fadley's down at Lexington Market, trying to put the pieces back together with the snow and the weather, all the Justin Tucker conjecture. But I am wearing my orange Curio wellness shirt here. I'm getting ready for spring training, pitchers and catchers. Learning things like Tyler O'Neill's actually from Canada, eh? I heard him say sorry at his locker, and I knew right away. And of course, speaking of Canada, and I watched hockey over the weekend. I know you weren't, Luke, but there was some hockey going on over the weekend. The Orioles will open the season in oh Canada, and I guess our eyes turned to Anthony Santander on opening day, and they actually opened the season at the end of March. It's kind of weird. But they're back on the field. They'll be playing baseball games by the end of the week.
They will, but I'd be remiss if I didn't mention I actually checked out US Canada on Saturday night. I mean, let's face it. This is not, if you're a baseball and football guy like me, this is not a good time of year because football's over. Baseball, we don't even have spring training games for, until this coming weekend. But yeah, I checked that out. What, three fights in the first 10 seconds? That was one of the wildest things I've ever seen. But I
It
don't
looked like Slapshot to me, and like as a guy, and I plugged last week that
was fun though. Like
I
it that
covered an
was
NHL All-Star game in 1991 at the Pittsburgh Igloo in Pittsburgh, and it was Lemieux and Gretzky, and it was 16-14 open ice, like it was one of those teams. That's what it was. But the NHL All-Star games had all of these different phases. I don't even really understand what the hell they're doing. Leonard tried to explain it to me last week. I'll ask him again. But I went to the fights and a hockey game broke out, kind of.
On a simplistic level, and look, I don't want to spend much more than a minute or two on hockey because I will be exposed for not knowing anything about hockey. But from my understanding is what? It's a tune-up for NHL playing in the Olympics next year, right? So they figured the All-Star game stinks. I mean, the NBA tried their format, which I couldn't even watch because the court just looked terrible. I watched the SNL 50th anniversary thing, but it seemed like it was fun. I as someone who's not even a novice hockey fan. I know the basic rules. I could name a few players in the league, and that's about it. Like seriously, that's all for me. But I enjoyed it. I watched not the entire game on Saturday night, but I watched a lot of it, and it was fun. But yeah, it sounds like it's just a tune-up, 1 year thing to go for to tune up for the Olympics next year. But
We're going to talk baseball, but before I just indulge me in one piece of comedy. I haven't watched the Terps play basketball all year, and I've got five people on my timeline that still watch it. You and I went down there and were treated well enough that we don't go anymore. But they had this big game against Iowa on Sunday, and I saw it, and people were on the timeline, and Scott Van Pelt, we got to get people there and all that. And I saw how embarrassing last Valentine's Day was when nobody went to the games and like all that. So I looked at it and it just caught my attention on Sunday afternoon that they were playing, what time they were playing, they're 25th ranked, whatever. The NIL is just sort of by the way, Towson had a big game too. Pat Scary, they had a big win the other night.
Towson's playing great,
I almost
yeah.
went to that game. Like just Pat Scary and I were there. So it's not like I'm out of the loop in all of this. It's just one of those you're sitting here talking about it because nobody else
Yeah.
is talking about it, so I'm not talking about it. So I'd rather be talking about a cup of Super Bowl or spring training or the Ori, whatever it is, right? But the Terps played, and I swear I went down to do my dishes to get some, my wife was taking a nap. I was doing some stuff, and it was like 4:35 in the afternoon, and they were losing by 4 points. I watched the last 5 minutes of the first half, and they were losing. And I'm like, okay. I went downstairs to like make a snack. I think I made some food, and it took me a little longer than I thought. Like I was tarrying like a half an hour. I'm listening to some Whitesnake or whatever, and I finally make it back to the TV, and I have my food. Like I made my food, and I sat down. And by the time I got back, it was 91 to like 58. I'm like, what the hell happened? I mean, it was
Yeah.
like, I did the math on it. I'm like, I wasn't paying. I swear to God, I was in the other room. I wanted to watch the last 6 minutes of the game. I thought, it's Terps. It'll be a run, another run. And when I get back upstairs, it'll be a 5-point game. Maybe the Terps will be up by a couple. And it was a 35-point game. I don't know what happened, but like, I missed it.
Yeah. Well, to give you the thumbnail, and then I promise everyone listening, we are going to talk baseball.
That's
But just to
okay. It's
give
spring
you a
training. We're just
thumbnail,
getting warmed up.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's only so many ways you could say, oh, best shape of his life. The ball
I'm
looks great coming out
trying
of
to
his hand, all
pronounce the
that.
Japanese guy's name. I'm working on that. Okay, so I'm working on that.
Tomoyuki Sugano. There you go. But no, Terps on Sunday. First of all, give some love to Towson. They're playing fantastic basketball. Hoping they get in the NCAA tournament. I mean, they Pat Scarry, that's a good team. Terps, you look at it from a metric standpoint, when you look at some of the different analytics rankings and everything, I mean, they're good. And as I watched them the last 2, 3 weeks, they absolutely have the talent to make a run. Now, people will point to the bench depth. And I mean, even on Sunday, they scored 101 points, 6 points from the bench, right? I mean, that they play their starting five and they play their subs, but their subs don't do a whole lot in terms of scoring. But when you're talking about Derrick Queen and Julian Reese, you have two bigs like that. I'm a big Rodney Rice guy. I mean, of course, Jacoby Gillespie's been fantastic for them, running the show. But I mean, they're playing well. And I think Sunday specifically, both teams shot the heck out of the ball in the first half. Iowa, I mean, kind of over their head a little bit. I mean, the Terps were too, in terms of just how well they shot. I think both teams were 57 and 58% from the field in the first half. But the thing that really made me take pause and saying, I think the Terps are going to be okay in this game. Iowa shot the heck out of the ball, and the Terps had turned the ball over a ton, and Iowa had scored points off of that, yet they only led by 4 at halftime. You look at that and you say, okay, is that really going to continue for a team that's on the road? Well, long story short, to your point, if you were late tuning back into the second half, Maryland
And I
just
was.
completely boat raced them, ran them off the floor in the second half. What, 54 points to
And you know what
24?
kind of struck me is I came in and I sat down. It was 6 minutes and 5 seconds. It was 91 to 50. It was crazy,
Oh yeah,
right?
they really caught off the dogs at the end. They could have scored. I mean, if they'd really kept their foot on the gas, they could have scored like 115.
I
I
was
mean, it was
kind of
crazy.
shocked that the place wasn't more raucous. You
Yeah.
know, by the time I came up, I'm like, 30 point run here,
Yeah.
the run. Like, I just thought the place would be on fire, inferno, whatever. And it wasn't like that at all. I mean, just it ain't the way it used to be back when I was a kid. That's all I'm going to say. All right, Lil
Yeah.
Jones is here. I don't want to belay you. Anything more on the Terps before we go to baseball?
Just
Because I want to do baseball.
they're fun to watch. They, unlike last year, they have shooters. They can shoot from the outside. And when you have two bigs, I mean, Derrick Queen, I mean, he's an NBA talent. I mean, he's going to be in the league. He's going to be in the NBA at this time a year from now. So enjoy him while you can. But I'm not ready to say that I think this is a Final Four team, but I'm very firm in thinking if they get a decent enough draw, they should be playing the second weekend of the tournament. I'll be disappointed if they're not. Let
All
me
right,
put
now
it
I got
that
to
way.
figure out when to turn.
So,
I got to go do the math
yeah.
on all this. So
So
now that I've been awakened to that.
now that I've said that, they're going to lose 3 of their next 4, and you can blame me. That's okay.
Well, look, I would awaken you to hockey in April, except you'll have baseball, and you know it's what you do anyway. All right, so baseball started. No, I do not have my press credential back to answer everybody's first question at the bar at Costas on Saturday night. I just do what I do, and I'm going to continue to do what I do as well as I do it. The pitching and the injuries, and we talked about the kid they acquired in the Marlins deal last year and where that's going to be. And their confidence in Elias's early confidence, and we have more pitching than we had last year. I don't know. I mean,
No.
it's so antiquated for me to sit here in February. And I've done this for 33 years, man. 30, this is my 34th spring training, talking about baseball on the radio in Baltimore, right? And I remember when it mattered a lot. I remember when rosters were more like the way they were, and money was different, just all of it being different. I remember when ownership was different for, oh, the last 29 years or so. I would just say that whatever it is right now, we're like two old ladies yelling at each other into the wind in February about it. Because whatever the opening day roster is, and whoever makes the team, whatever deals they're going to make, I know enough to know they're going to tinker. And I think you and I know enough to know they believe they might be able to hit their way out of all of this if Holiday and Rutschman and
Yeah.
everybody moves up a notch. Westberg, these high ceiling. Sig Meidel guys, these growth mindset humans who have all gotten better I mean, Jackson Holiday, all the Paul Mankanos are, he's buff. He's got guns. Look at that. He's been working out,
He's
eating
a
weed.
seasoned 21 years old
All the
now.
same
Yeah.
stuff I said about Brady Anderson when he
Sure.
was drinking those special milkshakes back in the day, and Scott Erickson. So I don't. They all look good coming off the bus. I mean, the thing I'll say is they have an immense amount of offensive talent and depth in the organization. They don't have enough pitching. You'd like to think they have enough money to do anything. And now that Rubenstein's got thrown out of the Kennedy Center, along with some very, very dear friends of mine, by the tyrant running the country, maybe you'll have more time to focus on the Orioles. I don't know. Money, whatever it will take. But at some point, they're going to need more pitching than what they have if they're going to win ball games in October. That I believe that. I think you believe that. And we can start the conversation there and then meander into any how Cedric Mullins is going to do out of the nine hole and who's going to get the off bat at days, when O'Neill's, they're resting him or where they're going to be. They're not going to miss Santander much, I don't think, if the rest of the offense moves into a position that Jackson Holliday's not going to be a 212 hitter this year. Adley Rutschman's not going to be the worst player in the sport for 90 days. That they're going to grow fruit. That's all. That has to happen no matter who their pitchers are.
Yeah, and I was just going to make that point. As much as we focus on the pitching, and understandably so, when Corbin Burns is no longer at the top of your rotation, their pitching wasn't their downfall at the end of last year, right? I mean, we could certainly debate if their bullpen was going to be deep enough and all of that, but it came down to it. They scored one run in their two playoff games, those two losses to Kansas City. So, but a couple things. I think first and foremost, you just made the point, and I'm glad you made the point the way that you did when you said, I don't think they have enough pitching to get, for October. I think as they're presently constructed, and you and I have talked about this, we were on this 6 weeks ago, probably, probably in the aftermath of when, probably when they signed Charlie Morton, right? When it was like, okay, it's this 35-year-old Sugano from Japan, who's never pitched in the majors, and it's a 41-year-old Charlie Morton who was still pretty good in age 40 season. Let's not look at him and say he was a scrub last year. He wasn't, but he's 41. I mean, he's my age. That's not who you're typically counting on when you're talking about being a contender. But we made the point at that point, and when you look at where they are right now, for me, the best news that came out of Mike Elias's camp opening press conference. And it was that Grayson Rodriguez was cleared fully for a normal offseason about a week after the season ended. That's what I wanted to hear. I think for as much as we hear the narratives of, the smell of the grass and pitchers and catchers have reported and hope springs eternal and all those things that us baseball fans, all the romantic junk that we get all misty about, right? That even talking about bad teams, if this goes right and this goes right, they have a chance. There's angst at the beginning of spring training, especially in this day and age with arm injuries, with elbows and shoulders and workloads and guys ramping up from the offseason. Think about it. At this time a year ago, all the excitement about Corbin Burns, what happened on the first day of spring training? It was the buzzkill that Kyle Bradish has a UCL injury and he's not going to be ready for opening day. And yeah, we're optimistic and we gave him a PRP injection a couple weeks ago and he's responding well and we think he'll be throwing and starting to ramp up and we're confident he's going to pitch this year. We know how that went. He made eight starts, albeit, hey, he pitched well over those eight starts, but he made eight starts. And I think you and I, even in mid-February, and not just you and I think anyone who knows how this typically goes, you don't want to condemn someone to Tommy John surgery, but more often than not, that's going to be the outcome, right? So there was already that. There was already John Means. So I think first and foremost, as we're talking in the context of talking about the pitching, when you look at how the spring has started, yeah, Trevor Rogers, had a little bit of a kneecap issue. He wasn't going to be on the opening day rotation anyway. He was bound for Norfolk, barring something really strange. So nothing major there. Chase McDermott's dealing with a little bit of a lat strain. Again, he wasn't going to break north with the team. They're already in a better spot from that standpoint, right? I mean, the last thing you wanted to hear was, oh, Grayson Rodriguez, we're ramping him up slowly. We think he's going to be ready you don't want to hear that, right? Because he's that important. So I think they have enough pitching to navigate at least the start of the regular season and feel good about that. I mean, think about it. 2 years ago at this time, there was no Corbin Burns then. There was no one that you, there wasn't even a Zach Eflin. I mean, it was Kyle Gibson, right? It was Kyle Gibson and all these young guys. And we saw how that season went. Now, did they have the bona fide ace for game one against the Rangers? Well, Kyle Bradish pitched like an ace for two-thirds of the season. It didn't work out. The Rangers are better than them. The Rangers won the World Series, so you
Well, their
never quite
pitching looked a
know.
lot better a year and a half ago than it did 6 months ago.
Sure. So, but I guess my point is with this, yeah, they're counting on some young guys, right? They're counting on Grayson Rodriguez to take the next step. They need Zach Eflin to stay healthy. They need, even if Charlie Morton and Sagano don't both pitch great, they need one of those guys needs to pitch well, right? They can't have two failed, eight-figure contracts, where you gave guys $12 million, $13 million, and they're not doing the job, right? I mean, it's got to be, you need at least one of those guys to be really, really reliable for you.
Well, then you have to
Then,
ask yourself, where is the Craig Kimbrel in this? Where is the next injury in this, right?
sure,
Because
and you.
the way they've lost pitchers, the Mount is back and Bautista's back,
Right.
that's what the next 6 weeks are about for me, right? Is
Sure.
sitting here and saying, where are the innings? Where are the arms? Where's the fatigue? Where's the comeback? How are the young guys? How much do you want Jackson Holliday and Adley Rutschman really running around out there in March trying to prove
Yeah.
themselves to be ready to come up here and freeze their ass off inevitably in April, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of what we see are, kind of these incremental updates. I mean, they did say with Felix Batista, they want to ramp him up a little more slowly than some of the other guys, and that's fair. I expected that, right? I mean, there's no indicator of a setback or anything like that. But let's keep in mind, we're talking about someone who's coming back from Tommy John surgery, albeit he's 16 months removed from that. So I'm much more optimistic and bullish on him being good and at least very close to the pre-injury form as the year goes on. But there's always unknown there. And there's also the thought of this isn't just ramping him up for 162 games. It's you want 162 games and then you have designs of playing in October, right? So you're always keeping that in mind for anyone that's coming off an injury. But Grayson Rodriguez, fully healthy, no indication whatsoever of any lingering effect of the lat strain, which was the first thing that I wanted to see. They look healthy otherwise, other than, like I said, with Trevor Rogers and Chase McDermott, who, those are depth pieces, right? Those are guys that, you can't just look at your projected five. You got to look at Albert Suarez. They're going to stretch him out as a starter. He might be in the bullpen this year based on the way that their rotation is aligned. Or Charlie Morton's going to pull a hamstring in a week doing a PFP drill, and then he's going to miss the start of the season. You never know. So you need depth. So yeah, when McDermott or and Rogers are sidelined at the start of spring, it's a little disappointing, but not devastating to your chances at this point in time by any means. So it comes down to this. I think they have enough pitching to navigate at least the start, the first half of the season, and feel good about that. Understanding, yeah, their offense is designed to do the heaviest lifting for this ball club. That's part of the reason why they faltered in the second half last year, is their offense underperformed. And then you got into Jordan Westberg being hurt and some other guys being banged up. Rutschman, whatever the heck that was, as we've talked about over and over and over. So yeah, the offense should be doing the heaviest lifting. Look at how they've drafted since Mike Elias and Sig Meidel arrived. They've skewed towards hitting, right? We know that. So that should be the biggest strength. Now, that said, will they have enough starting pitching to navigate the season and be good enough in the regular season? I think they have that. Do I feel good enough about that, about October and getting there and what that means for them? Well, unless Grayson Rodriguez becomes Corbin Burns, then yeah, I'm going to have some concerns about that. But I would also say their bullpen factors into that way more. We tend to focus, and when I say we, I think just baseball fans in general, because it's how we were brought up. That's how we watched the game 15 years ago, let alone talking about 30 or 40 or 50 years ago, knowing how important starting pitching is. The reality is the math has changed on that some. Starting pitching is, yes, still very, very important, but go look at the percentage of even the best starting pitching rotations in baseball. Go look at what percentage they handle compared to their bullpen. And that's where I look at the bullpen and say, if you have a Felix Bautista that is close to being what he was prior to Tommy John surgery, which I don't think there's any reason to think he can't be that. And looking at Kittredge being brought in, and you brought back Sir Anthony Dominguez, and Yennier Cano is still there. And, I think Gregory Soto is an interesting wild card for the pen. A lefty who can miss bats and finish the year pretty well after a really brutal start to his Orioles run. You have enough names there that you're hoping that there's more upside. There's a more complete nature to this bullpen. Understanding that, yeah, you moved on from Danny Coulomb. And I still think the big question there was, I think the Orioles doubted the health of his elbow when he came back and his velo was down and all that. But you're still moving on from someone who did a lot of good stuff for you out of the pen the last couple of years. So, long story, to kind of answer your premise to respond to it, I'm in agreement with you. I think another move needs to be made, whether it's this week, 2 months from now, or at the trade deadline, to go get that. Even if it's not a bona fide number one, at least someone that you say, okay, that guy definitely fits in somewhere with Grayson Rodriguez and Zach Eflin, right? However you want to rank them, one, two, three, you need a top three like that. And then we can talk about Charlie Morton and Dean Kramer and Sagano and Cade Povich and Chase McDermott later in the year, or whoever you want to talk to, Trevor Rogers by then. But they're going to need another guy like that. I think the interesting acquisition last week that, San Diego added Nick Pivetta, and that kind of heated back up the Dylan Cease maybe going somewhere. It sounds like the Padres baseball operations want to hold on to him, but considering the ownership situation there and the perception that they had extended themselves over the last few years to really try to win, is that going to happen? We'll see. Certainly the Orioles rank right there with anyone else in terms of teams that have the assets to make a trade. It's a matter of when the Orioles want to pull the trigger on that. Do they want to do it now, or do they want this thing to play out a little bit? Do they do it in May? If some team gets off to a lousy start and their number one or number two starter is suddenly available, or do you wait to the trade deadline? And at that point, you might have a much more complete picture of your entire team at that point and what you might need or what you might be able to part with, depending on, some of these young guys, right? I mean, we haven't even talked about someone like Kobe Mayo and how maybe he forces his way into the equation. Sam Bisaio, the catcher, who the early, if you follow all the social media updates and all the reporters down in Sarasota, he absolutely demolishes the ball. He needs a little more seasoning in Norfolk, there's no question, but if this kid's hitting 330 with 15 bombs in early June,
Adley who?
not so much Adley Hume, but like, hey, Adley, move over. We've got another guy, and it might be Gary Sanchez. See you later. I mean, who knows? Again, we're getting ahead of ourselves, but to your point,
Well, you
it's
get giddy about
mid-February.
this because it's right, because these guys are hitting
Right.
off of pitchers, they're number 67 and 92, and
Sure.
like,
And
oh, that's going.
look, so, and we know a lot of that'll end up not being real, right? I mean,
Well, spring training's weird. You get three at bats, you get it all three different caliber pitcher, right? You get an
right,
A and
that's
double A and a triple A pitcher, and you're three for three, and it looks good though from up here in the box score because it was a B game in Bradenton or whatever, right?
or you go 0 for 3, but you face two major league pitchers and you crush the ball twice. From a actual, like, looking at it with your eyes, you say, hey, that young guy, he squared up so and so really
Or
well
you
there
hit
a
two
couple
foul
times.
balls that went foul, right? Or, line drives, right?
And we know that. And look, when I talk about the younger guys, when I'm talking about Mayo, when I'm talking about Bisaio, Heston Kerstad, who I fully expect to be on the 26-man roster, but just how much is he going to play, right? I mean, how's the outfield going to look? I think we all would be in agreement that the projected, quote, regular outfield, Colton Cowser, Cedric Mullins, Tyler O'Neill. But when you consider the platoon splits of some of those guys, I mean, Mullins, based on how he's hit two out of the last 3 years against lefties, probably shouldn't start against left-handed pitching. Colton Cowser, I think, is a little more, hey, he's young. Let that play out a little more. I'm guessing Cowser is going to see time in center field when Cedric Mullins is resting against lefties to start games. Tyler O'Neill, his injury history alone, let alone talking about, kind of underwhelming numbers against right-handed pitching the last couple of years, he's going to get some days off, right? So everything I just laid out there, plus factor in at bats as a DH, Heston Kjerstad should get regular at bats. Now, that doesn't mean 7 days a week, but I don't see any reason why Heston Kjerstad shouldn't be getting four starts a week between DH or playing one of the corner outfield spots. I don't. Couser is probably the only outfielder right now where I would say, if all goes reasonably to plan, is the only guy I'd anticipate having a shot to play, 155 games, right? I mean, I think the other, and I guess I'm not counting like late inning defensive replacement. Mullins will do that if he's not starting against a left-handed starter. But you know what I mean. That guy's penciled in the lineup just about every day. Couser's really the only outfielder that I really see being that guy out of that outfield.
And
So
he's got to perform, right? I mean,
sure, and right, I'm making an assumption there that he takes the next step in the same way that Gunnar Henderson went from rookie of the year to MVP candidate. Now, I'm not saying Couser is going to make that kind of a
so
jump,
you want to see
but
Couser make the Westberg jump, and you want to
yeah.
see Henderson make the, I don't know what jump he's
I
going to
don't
make,
know.
but.
I mean, that's the big question. With Gunnar, that's the big question. Is there another jump for him? I was just reading something actually right before we hopped on our current conversation that I was looking at. With so much of the StatCast data, they can track bat speed growth and different things like that. Things that might project to make a player better or might just be an outlier. Gunnar Henderson's bat speed improved from his rookie of the year to MVP. Is there another jump? Now, it's not going to be, MVP to greatest player of all time, but it might be he goes from guy that was an MVP 1 year that suddenly he looks like he's a top three or top four in MVP every single year. I mean, he could be that guy. He's got that kind of talent. He's still young enough to say that he can still get better, right? So that's what's exciting for someone like him, who I'm not expecting it because he's already become a great player. But when you're looking at their group of players, and that's why I am still very optimistic on someone like Jackson Holliday, for example, who struggled last year, to say the least, right? I mean, really struggled early on. Had more success when he was recalled over the summer, but still struggled. But, a year ago at this time, you and I were asking about, is Colton Cowser going to be on the opening day roster? He finished second in rookie of the year voting. Jordan Westberg at this time a year ago was coming off of his rookie year where he performed at a league average level. There's nothing wrong with that, but he went from league average to suddenly being an all-star. So when you see guys like that make a jump in this organization, on this major league roster, there's no reason to think that Jackson Holliday is not going to be better. There's no reason to think that Cobie Mayo, who probably is going to end up starting the year in Norfolk just because there isn't a place for him at the moment, but he could force his way onto the roster come June, or they could end up trading Ryan Mountcastle or Ryan O'Hearn. Who knows, right? I mean, there's lots of things that could happen here, but the point is they still have such an exciting young core. That as much as I get it, I was disappointed by the offseason too, right? It's not the way I would have gone about spending the money that they did spend. But there's still a lot to really like about this club, and they still have the resources to go out and make a move, whether it's going to be right now, whether it's going to be in May, or whether it's going to be on July 30th, right? I mean, I think they have a high enough floor with the group that they have now that. And I think the overall makeup of the American League is still not so great where you look at this and say, I think it comes down to the Orioles don't even have to be at their absolute very, very, very best, and every player doesn't have to be at their very best, where I still think they're going to firmly be in contention. So as you're doing that, as you're figuring this out, as you're seeing where Grayson Rodriguez is, as you're seeing where Eflin is, as you're seeing where guys like Cade Povich are, right? I mean, Cade Povich, to me, he's not going to be in the rotation to open the year, barring an injury. But go look at what he did in September. He had a good ERA and he averaged over a strikeout per inning. He showed some growth from where he was in July, which in July I didn't think he was a major league starter. Now we'll see, right? I mean, we'll see. So you get a chance to see what you have. You still can make a move. You have prospects to make moves. So I think they're at this point content to see how it plays out, I think. Now that said, if we'll plug the WNST tech service, maybe they trade for Dylan Cease a date or 2 days from this conversation. And if they do, we'll reconvene and I'll say, hey, I was wrong. It won't be the first time. But, at this point, as we are getting deeper into spring training, and understanding, going and looking at what happened with like Jordan Montgomery last spring, right? You don't want to have someone that you're necessarily acquiring late in the spring and trying to swim upstream. I mean, that generally doesn't work out too well. But that said, if the right move becomes of it, comes to fruition, and San Diego's asking price is less than maybe it was a month ago, if they checked in on Dylan Cease at that point, maybe you make a move. But I think as this team stands right now, even with some of the concerns as far as is the pitching good enough, not to get you to October, because I think it's good enough to get them there. Whether that's as a division winner, as the wild card, who knows? We'll see. But yeah, once you get to October, ideally you want to have a couple horses, right? But that said, I'll still go back to what's your bullpen look like? I said that even last year with Corbin Burns, because I said most of these starting pitchers in October, they're not going 8 innings. They're not going the distance. You're still going to need five or six guys in your pen where you feel really, really good about them. And from that standpoint, even though I'm not saying that the bullpen is completely devoid of any questions, but I do think there's more upside in the bullpen now than it was a year ago at this time. And again, that begins with Felix Bautista throwing bullpens right now on the backfields and being someone who you expect to have for the duration of the season, which was not the case last year. And last year at this time, we were talking ourselves into Craig Kimbrel being good enough, and I think the data showed. Even going into that, as I was skeptical about just how good he was actually going to be. I didn't think he was going to be as bad as he ended up being, but I do feel better about this bullpen now than I did a year ago at this time. And considering the questions with the rotation, it needs to be really good, right? I mean, it needs to be. It's too important in this day and age when starters aren't going more than maybe 5 or 6 innings at the most.
Luke Jones is here. He will be there when baseball convenes and really gets started. I'm wearing my orange shirt, the purple Justin Tucker thing, and I guess Ronnie Stanley and Combine and all that happening. We're going to be playing baseball here this weekend, not for real, for fake. Luke and I are abstaining from fake baseball. Hey, they play real baseball at the end of March. Begin the season in Toronto, opening day here, of course, a slated. Let me get all the dates right here because we got to get all the parties started and get the beer ice down for everything. It's going to happen the 31st of March, and that is no April Fool's joke. The 31st of March is opening day, 3:05 against the Boston Red Sox, the new and improved Boston Red Sox, correct, Luke?
Yeah, I mean, hey, you have to give Boston a lot of credit. I mean, they've made moves. They're certainly better. I'm not
They're like
ready to.
trying again, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's been the big thing. I mean, really, from the time that Mookie Betts was dealt, I mean, the thought is kind of like, where are you going as an organization, right? I mean, and that's been what that was. Mookie was dealt. Was that 4 years ago? 5 years? I mean, it's been a minute, right? He's been
He's
a Dodger
collected
for a while
200
now.
million already.
Yeah. So, that Bregman and obviously, they've beefed up their pitching. Am I ready to pick them ahead of the Orioles? No, but they've certainly closed the gap. And I think when you look at, if I'm looking at it objectively, how I'm sizing up the division on February 17th, which is worth what? Not much, because we don't know just how healthy all these teams are going to be 6 weeks from now. But, I think. You have to give the nod to the Yankees at the moment. They're the defending AL champions as well, the division champions as well. But I think the Orioles right behind them, and I think Boston's right behind, has closed the gap. The Orioles and Toronto, I don't know. I mean, they've been in such a weird spot the last couple of years, right? And I get it. They signed Santander, so makes add some buzz to Orioles Blue Jays. But they've kind of been the team that. Their reputation the last couple of winters has been, well, we finished second getting guys, right? They tried to get Ohtani, right, a couple off seasons ago. Where are they? Where are they with Vlad Jr.? Are they going to sign him? And then the Rays, I mean, the Rays are kind of, it feels like they're in a down period, but this is also when every time you feel like the Rays are down, that's when they end up winning 92 games and they're in the playoffs. So, you know, they're for them, it's about getting some of their healthy, pitchers back, healthy. And, we know what they went through in the second half of 2 years ago when the Orioles were duking it out with them, with their pitching injuries. So, it's the AL East, right? I mean, it's, we're going to see how it plays out. The Orioles, the pitching is the big question, but I'll take the Orioles position talent against anyone else in the division. The Yankees, I get it. They've added some veteran names, some recognizable names, but these are guys on the other side of 30. Are they going to hold on? I mean, Giancarlo Stanton, I see, is already dealing with elbow issues. And I mean, the Yankees have a lot of guys that on the wrong side of 30 that they're counting on. Now, in fairness, if I'm being objective here, the Orioles are counting on a 35-year-old who's never pitched in the majors and a 41-year-old in their rotation. So, yeah, the Orioles are dealing with some of that too, but I'll still go back to the upside that they have with their position talent. And understanding that, no, that doesn't mean everyone's going to be better than they were a year ago. But, if you kind of look at the trend of the last couple of years, the jump that Gunnar made, the jump that Westberg and Kowser made last year, if you project that out for Jackson Holliday to do that, this year, for maybe Heston Kerstad to do that, albeit on a not 162 game every day basis, then boy, you've got the makings of a heck of a lineup there. So, maybe they'll just hit their way to October. But yeah, then it still comes back to the question, what are you going to do? And that's going to be the what Mike Elias needs to figure out between now and then, unless some really unexpected things happen on the pitching side. Which, hey, who knows? At this time a year ago, we weren't talking about Albert Suarez, and look how important he ended up being. So, you never quite know who could come out of nowhere to kind of seize an opportunity.
First time I attended a Major League Baseball game in the Sky Dome. I think it was the first game I ever saw inside of a dome. Was in 1992, summer 1992, and I went up to Toronto, and they had a song that they did up there called "Okay Blue Jays." Let's go Blue Jays. You know the song?
I don't.
You don't know about this Blue Jays song?
I don't think I do.
All right,
I mean,
so
I look,
here's what we do. I'm going to
every
offer
team has
you a
that from.
free all expenses paid trip internationally to Toronto if you can answer my trivia question. So here we go. So
Ooh.
the song is, you got a diamond, you got nine men, you got a hat, a bat, and that's not all. What do you want? Let's play ball. Okay, Blue Jays, let's
I
play
really don't know
ball.
this
You
one.
don't know
I'm
that
not
one?
surprised, but
So
I
the second verse, is that a fly ball? Or is it a seagull coming in from the lake just to catch the game? It's the last inning. Our guys are winning. And here you go. Dave's put down a smoker, a strike, and you've got no doubt. You're out. What do you want? Let's play ball. Okay, but so Dave, who is the Dave that put down a smoker in Let's Go Blue Jays? You need
Be
to
Dave Steeb?
do. You are correct, sir. Final
Yeah.
Jeopardy. You're
I
going to
mean, hey,
Toronto for opening day.
he had a
Congratulations
heck of
to
a
you guys.
career. You figured I'd know that one at
I knew
least.
you knew that one,
Yeah.
sir. I mean, I knew you. That was just, that's
Dave
why.
Steeb, 7-time All-Star, won an ERA title, won 176 games, 3.4 career ERA. Really very much a Hall of very good kind of pitcher.
That was a seventh inning stretch thing that they did. They were kind of one of the original teams that had the guns that shot the t-shirts out, and they
Okay.
had like cheerleader kind of very Canadian kind of, athletic young people that would come down and they lead this. Just go watch any of the videos from back in the 90s when they were like doing what they were doing. But it was like a big song. It's their "Thank God I'm a Country Boy." It's
Right.
really what it is. So
Oh, and Orioles magic. I mean, so many of these teams have a song from the late
none
70s or
better
the
than the Houston
80s.
Oilers, I might
Yeah.
add. None better than that.
Yeah. So, yeah, but yeah, I mean the Blue Jays are just in such a weird spot right now, just in general. And we'll
I
talk
don't
about
know the
that.
Fly Eagles song. Can you sing it for me? No, I'm
I'm
just
not going to
kidding.
sing it.
No, I've heard it too much the last couple
You know
days.
what? It's so funny you brought that up because I watched
You shouldn't go to the Jersey Shore this year, dude. Don't go to
I'll
Wildwood.
go to Wildwood. I
But
don't
you know
care.
what that's going to be all about this summer.
Oh, it always is. By then they'll be all fired up about the Phillies. It is what it is. But no, it did you know that the Fly Eagles Fly song was originally Fight Eagles Fight?
I did not know
It
that.
was, and it's funny because I had watched this movie when it came out. That movie, with Mark Wahlberg when he played Vince Papale in Invincible,
Okay.
came out almost 20 years ago. I think it was like 2006, 2007,
I've had
something
Vince
like
on the
that.
show a handful of times.
I
Yeah.
just happened to put that on, and I wasn't watching it intently. I just put it on in the background as I was working last week, during the day one afternoon, and the one scene, because the whole premise of the movie is Dick Vermeil, like when he arrived in Philly, they had an open tryout, right? And they did like a newscast thing in the scene in the movie, and they're singing the fight song, and they were saying, "Fight, Eagles, fight." And I'm like, wait a second, did they screw this up? So that I Googled it, of course, being the nerd that I am for wanting things to be correct. And I thought, okay, was it a trademark thing? I don't know. No, they actually, way back when, it was Fight, Eagles, fight. And then I think in the 80s or something, when they brought it back, they changed it. They
I'll say this. I was a
modernized it.
season ticket holder from 86 to 92. I saw people referencing Rich Kotite last week. I was at all those games. I mean, Buddy Ryan, Randall, when Baldinger played on the team, Mike Quick, Keith Byers, just, those were the teams. I went to Philly every week, 86, 87, 88, 89, when they had home games. I went to six of the
Hey,
home
Reggie
games.
White and Jerome
I
Brown, my
never went
goodness.
to the Cowboys game because my friend Russ's wife at the time liked the Cowboys, so she wanted to go to that game. And he had a buddy that liked the Giants, so he would take. And I'm like, that's fine. I like the Oilers. I wasn't really an Eagles fan, but I went. I mean, I have a ton of ticket stubs. I was there when Shula won the big game and got lifted up. I saw Joe Montana play and beat them. Beat the Eagles up there. So that era, they never played that song, dude. That song was not even a part of any. I never heard that song in my life until 10 years ago, whenever they sort of the modern era playing it back.
Yeah, I mean, I think that maybe they brought that back during like maybe the start of the Andy Reid era. I don't know. But yeah, it's just funny you brought that up because I literally was thinking about that last week as I put that movie on. Again, I just put something on a streaming service just to have something on in the background. And I heard them say, "Fight, Eagles, fight." I'm like, wait, what? And then sure enough, I didn't even text my brother-in-law because I almost feel like he'd laugh at me or something. But I looked at it and they said, yeah, when they brought it back, whenever they brought it back, the 90s, whenever. They modernized it and changed it from Fight Eagles Fight to Fly Eagles Fly. So
Well, for
there you
anybody
go.
that's made it
There.
through this baseball segment to see me in orange and black here in my Curio regalia, this literally, especially with the font on this shirt, is way more like the Baltimore Clippers who were orange and black. And this is shout out for Nacho Mamas, and they did their big sale on Saturday, and I went over to the auction that they had over there, and they had a Clippers bobblehead, and I always see those bobbleheads behind. You got all those Mutant Ninja Turtles, and I don't know
Those
if
are all
any of
my
them are really.
brothers. Yeah.
I don't know if any of them are like collectible worth $200 or $500 because there's some
Probably a
special.
couple of them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a Clippers one that's, it's like a $200 bobblehead. The one that Scunny had was a little beaten up, and I've seen it online, but it's the Clipper bobblehead. It's the only bobblehead in the world that I would probably want to own at this point because it's kind of cool and up my alley. And I got involved in an auction for a pennant with the old Clipper guy with the beard, the orange beard. It looks like the Gorton Fisherman. But the reason I even bring this up is the Clippers fight song was Fight, Fight, Fight. And I'm wondering, like, in the modern era, could you do that at a hockey game? And then I saw what happened the first 10 seconds of the real hockey game last
And you
weekend
thought, yeah,
in a
you can.
friggin' all-star game. So, the whole thing about fight, 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 it's like why the bullets aren't the bullets anymore. Bullets, bang, bang, guns, murders. We don't want that. We need to move away from that brand. That was Susan O'Malley 30 years ago to no longer have the bullets. And it was Baltimore bullets was alliterative. And the bullet had to do with trains and like all. So,
You have to wear the throwbacks, right?
well, I mean, I don't know where we are with Indians and Redskins and Orangemen and Guardians and like all the names and Commanders and all the things that we have to do in order to massage things. It would seem to me that in Philadelphia, where it was violent, it still is, fight, fight, fight didn't work in, they had to fly, 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 and Eagles fly anyway. So somebody like you would say, like, why would they write it that way? And I'm thinking, the Clippers fight song was fight, 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 just like the Eagles, fight, 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 right? I don't know if you can even fight, fight, fight anymore. I don't know if you're allowed to do that.
That's where I'll abstain from commenting too harshly, but that's one of those where I'm just like, come on. It's words in a song.
We're
We
gonna
can
get out
also
there. We're gonna kill
also
them.
understand we
We're gonna
also
kill them. We're gonna
understand
assault them. We're gonna go to war. We're
can
gonna
we
do it. We're gonna
understand
do
what
all that, right?
figurative
So,
language
right.
is? Can
Yes.
we understand not everything needs to be taken literally? Anyway, I
I'm under
digress.
assault. Someone called me a name.
Yeah.
Again. It's amazing. Like, since this guy became president again and it's baseball season, how many names I get called on the internet. By the way, somebody on Facebook wrote me F you, like, out and shared it. And I complained to the community and they wrote me back, nah, that's okay. I'm like, okay.
Okay then.
That's something. We're evolving as a society. Either way, baseball season is coming. Either way, I'm evolving and eating more crab cakes. We're going to be down at Fadley's on March 6th, the day after my father's birthday, which I'm looking forward to. Speaking of my father's birthday, March 5th is my dad's birthday. I know you just celebrated the life of your father last week as well, Luke. March 5th is John Miller, not John Miller, not that John Miller, the author. Wall Street Journal just did a big book on Earl Weaver. He's going to be speaking at Enoch Pratt with John Eisenberg, who also writes books and is our friend. If I could do anything, I advise all of you to read books. Don't do what the man did. And by the way, I told this story wrong to you, Luke, in the other segment. We went to Costas for dinner Saturday night. We sat right at the bar because we always sit at the bar. Karen's there, Maggie, all the people we like, John Corsi, everybody's there. Sit down, people every table that I sort of knew or knew me or yelled at me or whatever. Not the lady in the Make America Great hat in the corner. She didn't know me, and it's okay. So, but we're at the bar, and the man next to me doesn't say a word to me, and Pete comes up and talk. I went to the bathroom, and when I came back, he and my wife were in a conversation. And they were like way into the conversation about my career, and like he knew who I was. He'd been sitting next to me half an hour, didn't say a word. But I come back and then we talk, and he said to me, "Hey, I got your book." And I'm like, "Oh, thanks." I said, "It's a shame. I had put four copies of Purple Rain 1 in my car to give to Jermaine and Jamal last weekend at the Super Bowl when I saw them. And I didn't like bring them in. I didn't feel like carrying them around. And it was cold as hell. And I'm like, they were in my car. I'm like, here, he had Purple Rain 1. And I'm like, ah, man, that's what I have in my car. If you didn't have it, I would give you Purple Rain too. He's like, oh, that's all right. So we left. I don't remember the man's name. He's a I won't give his name because I don't want to insult him. But the next morning, my wife said, "You know that guy last night that we sat next to?" I'm like, "Yeah, guy had my book." She's like, "The first thing he said to me is he didn't read it."
Yeah.
And I'm like, he wanted me to autograph it though. So I could just say. So I don't know what to say to people who buy books and don't read them,
Although, hey,
or if
I
the
will
banner
full
report comes in.
disclosure, I absolutely own books that I have not read.
My book
Now,
is
I
the
read
second
plenty
that a
of
lot of
books, let me
words.
be clear, but I absolutely own more books than I'd like to admit that I have not yet read.
Let me
Now,
say this,
I
because
intend to at some point, but
I
anyway,
just
go ahead.
outed myself in this segment. I just invited you on an international trip. Toronto, it's lovely in March. Come on in. Still hockey season. What's going to freak you out is I'm going to take you out to a sports bar and you're going to see nothing but hockey. And no, nobody cares about anything but hockey there. It's going to blow you away. I don't even know. Like that Thursday night after the game, the Maple Leafs might. I gotta go online. And now that we're going to Toronto because you got S. Can you spell Steve? I before E, but never. Right? It's like believe, Steve, right? You got to E before the I, right? It's irregular. And in Toronto, if you have a color or ask for a favor, you have to add the UR. They go British spelling up there. I expect all blogs to reflect that. So we're going to go up to Toronto and be a part of this thing. I'm excited about this. You got me all worked up for like hockey season in Canada here. It's going to be good.
Well, it's that, and keep in mind the last time you were there, I mean, they've done a lot of renovations to Rogers Centre the last few years, so it looks quite different.
Well,
So
I'm not
it's
getting
gonna
us
be
a
fun.
room in the hotel. I know what happens up there. I've seen that before. Luke Jones is here. We're going to Toronto. Who wants to go with us? Get a passport. Let's all go to Toronto and have fun and freeze or whatever. But you and I are going to have fun. And I should say this about books. This is where I'm going to throw myself on the full. And next time we get together, I'll bring him in here. I had Rick Emmett on the show last year. And Rick Emmett, of course, the singer-songwriter from Triumph. Lives in Toronto. He's a professor. The whole thing. Huge, crazy big baseball fan. His brother passed away tragically and requested, his dying request was to scatter his ashes at shortstop at Memorial Stadium. I'm not like,
Wow.
so Rick Emmett's book, Lay It on the Line. I mean, if you want to see a great segment, go watch my Rick. It's two segments. It was a lot of baseball in there, a lot of baseball. He loved it. And he invited me to a game and we talked. So I'm going to make an entree to Rick Emmett. And then, of course, Rick Emmett has Geddy Lee in his phone? Like, I know this to be factual, right? So Geddy has a book coming out this year on baseball. You know this, right? He's doing a
I've
big
heard
book on
that.
baseball. Yeah. And his baseball collection at the Negro Hall of Fame in Kansas City, you and I have seen it out there, biggest collection in the world, biggest collection of autographed president baseballs in history as well. I think Geddy's going to be at opening day, right? I mean, right? You would think, right?
You would think so.
He's not on tour. I know that.
I mean,
So I'm
unless he has,
thinking if I go to Toronto for 3 games, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Geddy might be there. I might be a media member, maybe in that country. I don't know. I'll ask Mr. Rubenstein now that he's got more time on his hands after the Kennedy Center debacle. But Geddy might be there. Rick Emmett might be there. And here's the problem, dude. Seriously. Both of their books are on my bookcase. I haven't read either one of them because I haven't been on like a vacation because I've been working. I haven't even shaved. But like I have both of their books. It would be very embarrassing if I went to a baseball game with them and didn't read
I
their
can just
books.
see it now. I haven't read your book.
Yeah, right. I'm exactly what the guy at Costas did. I'm sorry, Perry. I
exactly.
hope you
That's what
read my book.
that's why I
Please
was
read my
saying
book.
when you said that to me, I'm like, oh man, I have way too many books on my bookshelf right now that I have not yet
Here's
read.
what. As your boss and the leader of WNSC, if they win another Super Bowl, you're gonna have to write Purple Rain 3. So I'm gonna put you on the hook. You're risking hurt from signing it. You can see how little money you're actually gonna make and how little appreciation you're gonna have. And then when Bisciotti runs into you, he's gonna point out the typos to you instead of the great stuff in the book. So I'm telling you, if you wanna be an author, like John Miller, the other with the H, or John Eisenberg, because I know you got it in you, you're a writer. I've seen your work. That writing a book, you can feel appreciated, that you can send it out, people will buy it from you. Don't think they're going to read it, whatever you do, because they might not.
Well, if they buy it, that's money in your
Do you know how
pocket,
much I love Geddy Lee?
right?
Do you have any idea? Do you know how much I love
I
Geddy
know.
Lee?
No, I already,
And I
it's so
haven't read
funny.
the book because it's a lot of Holocaust stuff and it's going to make me cry, like literally. And I already know how awesome. But that book to me is a beach book for me. Or
I
it's a
think.
I'm going across a body of water on a plane book. Like that's what the Geddy Lee book and the Rick Emmett books, but I have not read them. But if we go to the baseball game and I'm with Geddy and Rick
I
Emmett
have a
at
vision right
Sky Dome
now.
singing OK Blue Jays with them, I better read the, I better at least get the Cliffs Notes.
I have a vision right now because Geddy's always sitting behind home plate, right? And when you let your hair down at this point in time, it's very Geddy Lee-esque. And I don't say that as a knock or anything. It's just an observation. I want you sitting right next to him, and it'll be like, hey, wait a
Reading
minute,
his book?
Geddy Lee. No, Geddy's sitting with his doppelganger, right? I mean,
You know
it'd be
what his book is
tremendous.
called?
What's it called?
My effing EFFING life. My effing life. So me and Getty just do, but I want to do it in his library. I want to see his collection. That's really what I want to do. Like, I want to go to see his stuff. If you've seen Dan Rather's been in his room, if you've seen the interviews and stuff, I want to see Geddy's stuff. So I'm going to work really hard on this. Geddy's been unbelievably cool to me all through my life. Geddy's never said no to anything I've ever asked for. So I'm going to really put the full court press. And if I don't find him or get there, and all I get is a picture 15 feet away from him and wave and tell him how much I love him again for the 40th year in a row, for the 50th time, he's probably sick of me. He ran into me in the buffet at the 93 All-Star game. So I'm bound to find Ged. You know what I mean? Like, so Geddy's going to be there. You're going to be there. I'm going to be there. Anthony Santander is going to be there.
The Maple Leafs will not be. They are in California on a
What if
road
I
trip at that
took the
point.
book, the Geddy Lee book, and I actually read it, and Geddy went to the game with me, and I sat next to him, next to the lady that looks like Phyllis Marriage, the woman that's always the gray-haired lady that's always behind home plate at the games, and I change my effing life to my effling life, and we do that on opening day. What do you think?
Pretty good.
Luke Jones, hang around. There'll be comedy. I was very inspired by seeing Bill Murray sing again and do his Catskills thing this weekend. So all the Saturday Night Live, seeing Eddie Murphy do Tracy Morgan next to Tracy.
That was epic. And the other thing I'll give him credit for, and I've kind of lost a lot of my taste for Adam Sandler's work. I thought his song was really good. I
I
think,
haven't seen it yet. I
especially he
fell
gave the
asleep.
nod to Farley and to Norm Macdonald. I thought that was cool. But Eddie Murphy doing Tracy Morgan with Tracy Morgan right next to him was absolute gold. Funniest thing I've seen in a while, as someone who, I'm not going to lie, it's been 20 years since I've regularly watched SNL.
Yeah,
But
some of
that
the
was
cast
awesome.
members, I'm like, who is that? Do I recognize that? My wife was like, that's the person. I'm like, I don't know who she is. She's funny, I guess, but I don't know who it is. I just took it for what it was. I tried to recognize every Scarlett Johansson, every sort of person behind things, but it was great. So anyway, Luke's here. This is what we do in February. Imagine if we did 4 hours a day. We'll have your phone calls next at 410, 481, 1570. Tell us what you think of Justin Tucker, even though you didn't read the story. We're WNST, Baltimore Positive. Go read up on all of that, and I will do my homework. And if Getty welcomes me, I'm going to know everything there is to know about Getty, I promise, by opening day.